We're Bringing the Fire with KTSW, Dan Marcus.
Coming at you live from the KTSW studios in San Marcos, Texas, this is Bobcat Radio. Coming at you live from the KTSW.
Welcome to Bobcat Radio on KTSW 89.9, an hour of Texas State news and sports. I am your host, Andrew Zimmel, with co-host Brendan Snow. For any questions, if you just want to tell us we're doing a good job, tweet at us at KTSW Sports, at KTSW Sports. We'll be having head men's basketball coach Danny Casper call in after the 10-minute break. The team won 22 games last year, which was the most since 1994, and had the first winning season in program's history in 14 years, playing in the postseason tournament for the first time since 1997, and won two postseason games in the NCAA program. Should be a really good interview, so you do not want to miss that. And at 11:30, we have head coach of the San Marcos Rattlers, Mark Soto, calling in, coming off another win last week. The Rattlers are in a bye this week and look to continue the momentum going into the playoffs. Texas High School football playoffs start. It's coming up pretty soon. The district plays coming into the last couple legs. I mean, high school football goes so quickly, Brendan.
Oh, yeah, San Marcos has just three games remaining. They're, like you said, they're on a bye week this week. But, yeah, they only have just three games after that. They only played five district games this season. They have a pretty small district. It's only like, I think it's only about like five or six, I think six teams, which is kind of small compared to what I'm used to.
It goes so quickly. The season just wraps up like that. But we're going to start the show today talking about a various number of topics. The first one being Dallas, your home city, Brendan. Dallas will host the 2018 NFL Draft. This will give us a chance to see Wyoming quarterback Josh Allen, who played Texas State earlier in the season and smoked us. We also will be able to see Saquon Barkley, Josh Rosen, and Sam Darnold, who all should be there going in the NFL Draft this upcoming April. But it also is all of our favorite players, right, Brendan?
Oh, yeah, definitely. That's going to be pretty cool because they've been moving the draft around more lately. He was in Philly last year, and I think bringing it to Dallas, you know, kind of adds that rivalry that Dallas and Philly has in football and between the cities. Those fans don't like each other at all. And if you remember, I forgot who it was, but one of the Cowboys on draft day was announcing the pick, and he was like, the five-time Super Bowl champ, and he was, you know, boosting up the Dallas Cowboys, and all the Eagles fans were booing hard, and he just loved it, so... You know, they kind of made the NFL draft a little bit more fun than just typical Chicago. Nothing wrong with Chicago, it's just it didn't have that same flair in it.
Well, they're really picking good sports cities, in my opinion. Chicago having two Major League Baseball teams, an NBA team, an NFL team, an NHL team. Philly, same. Dallas, same. So, they're picking the right cities. It's not like they're picking, like, a Milwaukee or they're picking, like, a Detroit. They're picking, you know, main football powerhouse cities. Also, fun fact, these are the cities where the NFL really got started. You know, if you think about it, Chicago really was one of the cornerstones. Philadelphia and Pittsburgh, two of the big cornerstones when it comes to the NFL getting going. And then Dallas, of course, pretty much carrying the NFL on their back for the 1990s. So they really are. They're picking historic NFL cities.
Yeah, and, you know, it just all adds to the brand and what the NFL has. You know, they also have to know, maybe it plays a role, you know, the NFL and what's going on political right now. You know, the politics are kind of against the NFL, people turning off the NFL because kneeing for the anthem and all that. So maybe, you know, coming down to Texas, seeing some of the people who might disagree with it, you know, just trying to rope in and build the community more and try to build their credibility back.
Well, yeah, Texas would be the capital of football in America. Moving on to a more serious topic, U.S. gold medal Olympic gymnast Makea Maroney has accused U.S. team Dr. Larry Nassar, this happened just a couple hours ago, this news broke, of abusing her as early as the age of 13. The former Michigan State and U.S. gymnastic doctor, Nassar already faces 22 counts of first-degree criminal sexual conduct and could receive a life sentence in prison. She goes on to talk about in her statement saying that the first time was at 13 and then also at 15 in the 2012 Olympics when she was part of the Fierce Five, pretty much America's golden child when it came to that Olympics. The entire nation kind of attracted to that team. So to hear this and to hear, you know, more and more of these women coming out, it's a serious note, but it you got to feel a little bit of empowered by that, these women coming out.
Yeah, and you gotta hope stuff, you know, them making those kind of decisions, coming out like that, because, you know, women are, a lot of times they're kind of scared because things can happen, but them coming out, building, you know, a response and opening some eyes to some people to see what's going on, some of these things, hopefully can end it all.
Well, something that we're going to have to keep in our thoughts and prayers, Brendan. Moving on now to more local topic, Texas State football. This isn't a good one, guys. Close your eyes. Texas State football team has officially has the longest losing streak against FBS opponents in the nation, stretching all the way back to the beginning of last year's win against Iowa. Ohio. Since beating Ohio last year in that thrilling overtime game, the game that gave a lot of Bobcat fans a lot of hope, it's been downhill from there. Since then, the Bobcats have lost 15 straight games to FBS teams, not winning one game last year in conference play, and then right now being defeated in conference play as well.
Yeah, I mean, since then, they've only won two games since then, two FCS schools when they played Incarnate Word last year and HBU to start this season. And that's just, I don't know what that says about your football program, because you have to be beating your people of your competition to be, you know, get some type of respect. That's why Texas State and a lot of these polls, like, they're even falling off the polls, not even being ranked, you know, last anymore. They're going below D2 schools and stuff like that, and you don't want to see them in that area. And they're, you know, they got to turn around kind of quick. I'm not saying they have to win out from here, but this Coastal game coming off a bye, first time Coastal Carolina's been a D1 football program. You got to take advantage of that and pull one out here.
Well, it's got to be close, Brendan. You got to think that if this team doesn't win, Coastal doesn't win at least one more game going into the end of the season, that you're starting. I know head coach Everett Withers started not on level ground, but if we're going to be completely fair, he kind of started with one foot in the sand. But now, it almost feels like a regression, almost, since he comes here. Which, I mean, it's hard to start a program from scratch, essentially. But, I mean, UTSA was able to do it, so.
And I don't know how you'd make a case if, you know, if you're an Everett Withers, after two seasons, say you don't win another game this year. How do you make a case to keep your job if you're 3-21?
That's true. Now, talk about the team that's coming in close to that Texas State record.
Oh, yeah, so we said Texas State has lost 15 straight FBS games. Well, Rutgers wasn't too far behind. They were at 13 straight losses until they beat Illinois on Saturday. So they ended their streak and cleared their name. I know you like to call them
Texas State of the Northeast, yeah.
Yeah, so some parallels there between Rutgers and Texas State. And then at a current 14-game losing streak in FBS play is UMass. And they're going to play Georgia Southern on Saturday, so they could end that or they could tie that.
Yeah, that's right. Texas State having a bye week this week, so not a whole lot of information coming out. But going into next week, playing Coastal Carolina, a team that's coming into the Sun Belt Conference, a team that, you know, doesn't have a whole lot of football pedigree, you would think that Texas State's entire 100-year-plus history of playing football, organized football at this university, you would think that that would kind of trump Coastal Carolina coming into the Sun Belt Conference. We don't know just yet how that game's going to go. We know that Coach Everett Withers, this needs to be, it's a must-win game right now for the Bobcats, and you have to kind of, almost have to admit, Brendan, that this team coming in had a whole lot of, not hype, not a whole lot of hope, we'll call it that, hope. Hope that this could be the year that the Bobcats go on and kind of win a couple more games. Coming in this year, at this point right now, you don't know. There's uncertainty with this team. We don't really know where this team's going to go, if it's going to be an upswing from this point out. I know we've seen a whole lot of teams that have a bye week come out and win and do astoundingly better, almost getting a little bit of a break. We don't know where that's going to be, how this team is going to kind of bounce back from their early, kind of some of their early issues. You know, we talked about Josh Allen earlier and how Wyoming, one of the premier games, Texas State went to Wyoming and ended up losing that game. But you talk about some of the players the Bobcats have played too, this is just a really good tie-in with everything else, with the Bobcats and Dallas hosting the NFL draft this year, we should be able to see a little bit more of a, maybe you see a couple more Texas players, especially players from Texas that are in the Sun Belt Conference, we might get a chance to see some of them get drafted in this upcoming NFL draft, which, you know, kind of a stretch out there, but it's something that we should keep an eye on as the time goes on.
Yeah, sorry about that. I just got off the phone with one of our callers. Kind of left you here by yourself, and it's only the two of us today. But he had some good stuff. He's been listening for a while, because I've recognized that voice. He calls in a few times, never really gives his name, but he's a big he's a big Texas State football fan. He was talking about at the ULM game the other week. He's at that game, and he was talking about, you know, he thought the offense looked pretty good that game, but the killer was the morale of the crowd, the players, a lot of bad penalties, so, you know, maybe some coaching problems there. And he talked about the fans in the little section were being, his exact words, belligerent. They were talking smack to the players, telling them that they suck, and he could see the disappointment on the player's face, and he thinks, you know, the Texas State crowd and fans need to be called out for that.
Well, Thank you, callers. Thank you for listening in. We're pushing up on the 10-minute break before we go. Bobcat Radio is sponsored by the University Bookstore. Located on the second floor of LBJ Student Center, University Bookstore provides support for Texas State programs, departments, events, and organizations. For more information, go to bookstore.txstate.edu or 245-2273. You're listening to Bobcat Radio on KTSW 89.9.
According to NHTSA.gov, 28 people in the United States die every day from drunk driving accidents, and 25% of those crashes involve an intoxicated minor. You may think it's only your life that you're putting in danger, but think again.
It's my brother, my daughter,
my father,
my husband, that's my mom.
Stop these tragedies at the source by planning your sober ride home before that party. For more information on road safety, visit NHTSA.gov. A message from KTSW, the other side of radio.
You've heard this line so many times before, it's not even funny.
I'm sorry, but we cannot hire you. You just don't have the background.
But KTSW can help you as it starts the new hiring process for spring 2018. No radio experience is needed to apply. Plus, you'll get chances to help your community and meet new people. Applications for general staff like audio production, public relations, on-air DJs, and many more will be open from October 3rd to October 30th. Have your application in by 5 p.m. on the due date. Check out ktsw.net for more information on departments and look under the family tab for the application.
Yep, fall's here, and the crops are just about ready for picking. KTSW 89.9 and Buzzmill are bringing you a bumper crop of local music with Harvest Live, the new go-to event here in good old San Marcos. Rusty Dusty and 36-inch Wheels will be making your acquaintance at Buzzmill on October 21st, starting at 9:30 p.m. If that ain't enough, 20% of the gross sales go to the Central Texas Farmers Co-op. Get down to Buzzmill, and we'll make sure that the ghosts and ghouls of Halloween don't get their hands on them harvest veggies. Harvest Live from KTSW and Buzzmill. Look for the event page on Facebook and at KTSW_899 on Twitter.
Welcome back. You're listening to Bobcat Radio on KTSW 89.9. On the phone right now, we have men's basketball head coach, Coach Danny Casper. Coach Casper, how's it going?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing really good. I heard you're on a little bit of a drive right now.
Yeah, you guys, I gave the guys a day off, but I'm working. I'm recruiting in Oklahoma, so I'm driving to a high school to watch them practice.
How's the traffic?
It's fine. I mean, this place is out in the country a little bit, so it's not bad.
That's great, Coach. Now, tell us a little bit. You're coming in off a big season last year, a team that, you know, exceeded a lot of expectations. How have you been able to bottle that momentum and carry it into this year?
Well, I mean, you know, we won't know until the results are in, but you just keep doing what you're doing. I didn't change anything, or I changed very little from when I arrived through last year. The players are different, and I have new assistant coaches, except for one, but we have a philosophy about how to do things, and, you know, you have to believe in it. And I believed in it because of success I had at previous schools, and it paid off last year. We had a good group of young men. They worked hard. They listened. They allowed themselves to be coached. You got to be a little lucky. The ball's got to bounce your way at times. And we have another good group. They're easy to work with. They're coachable. They like each other. I think they're cohesive. And, we, you know, so that's hopefully we'll have a repeat or even improve upon last year this coming season.
Yeah, Coach, Brendan Snow, your team, the team was awarded or announced as they had the best GPA in all the Sun Belt Conference a couple months ago with a 3.04. They're the only team in the Sun Belt with above a 3.0 GPA. So just kind of what did that say about your players and the discipline they have? And does that add any pressure to some of those guys or some of those new guys coming in?
Well, you know, it was a good, I told you it was a good group, and there were some good students in there, and there were some average students in terms of academics who worked very hard to get that their grades up. I mean, we emphasize that a great deal. I mean, I tell them they're here to get a degree, that basketball is something that has got them a degree. I want them to love basketball. It's a, you know, whatever you want to say, a degree 1A, basketball 1B, or vice versa. They're both very, very important. I tell the players that they're only a, you know, a serious injury away from being done. So don't count on it. Well, I think the odds are one in whatever they said. I want to say one in several thousand make the NBA. And so we really constantly preach that, the value of a degree. We have study hall guidelines about based on their academic performance. My assistant coaches check classes every day. Some players have earned the right to be spot checked every now and then. The new guys are checked every day until they earn the right to be checked periodically. And so it's an accountability issue. You know, you'll go to study hall a lot if your GPA is below a certain level, and if your GPA is above a certain level, you don't hardly have to go. And I've maintained that system for quite a long time, and it's seemed to work. As my graduation rate is near 90%, and I've only lost one player to eligibility in 26 years, going on 27 of coaching.
That's a pretty good streak right now, Coach. Hey, Coach Danny.
Yeah, I'm proud of it. Unfortunately, the one player we lost was a very key player off a team in which we were picked to win the title. We ended up winning second. If we would have had him, he got ineligible at Christmas off a new NCAA rule that got put into place. And, that just slipped through the cracks there. And so other than him, we haven't lost a player to being ineligible in a long 27 years.
Men's head basketball coach, Coach Danny Casper. Coach, how much leadership are you putting into your sophomore, had a stellar freshman year, Nigel Pearson? How much leadership are you putting into his hands this year?
A great deal. You know, he is our most talented player, and he has a strong personality, but we need leadership from some others. That's the one issue that I'm a little worried about. You know, we had great leadership from our three seniors last year, O.J. Black, Kevin Tilbury, and Bobby Conley. And without those three, both in terms of what they brought to the floor as far as their talents, but also their leadership, they were very, very great group of seniors. And so I'm a little bit worried, concerned about are we able to fill the leadership gap that was left by their graduation.
Yeah, Coach, you have a lot of new players on this team. How hard has it been to get everybody on the same page?
Well, I mean, actually, we have six new players, and last year we had eight. I had four seniors this year, and I had three the previous year, but I had some players a lead because either they weren't playing or I had one give it up because of his knee was continually hurting him. And so six is a manageable number. I was really worried last year with eight new ones, and look what they did. They won 22 games and got to the Sun Belt Conference Tournament Championship. And again, leadership played a role. You asked your returning players to help you coach the newcomers. And that's what I've done all throughout my career. And so their leadership and their efforts, their work ethic serves as examples to the returning players. So, we got a good group. I like my recruits, and they work hard, they listen, and And we brought some players who are going to bring some talent to the table. So I'm excited about this year.
Coach, aside from Nigel Pearson, so we talked on him, taking on more of a leadership role, who's someone else on this team that you think could be taking a big leap this year or can make a big impact that we may not be expecting right now? And I'm starting to think we might have lost Danny Casper.
Well, we'll just have to go off of what he kind of told us. We didn't really get to ask him the questions that I was really hoping for, trying to get a little bit more of what his thoughts on what a couple of his thoughts on some other NCAA, some college basketball programs. But we'll go off what he said. I'm really impressed by his how many people have graduated from that team. His 90% graduation rate is something that I haven't seen out of a lot of other programs recently.
Yeah, stuff you don't really see. Like when I was mentioning, the team had the team GPA was a 3.04 last year, best in the Sun Belt. No one else in the Sun Belt had above a 3.0. I mean, that's definitely saying something about your guys. You know, that stuff transfers on and off the court and makes them a better person as an individual and a better basketball player.
Well, that's the most important thing, right, is trying to keep these guys eligible. If you just tune in, we lost Danny Casper. The signal went out. He's on a recruiting trip to Oklahoma trying to hopefully, you know, keep the crop going. He mentioned that last year he had 8 new players. This year he has 6. So just is the secret sauce bringing in a bunch of guys that don't know the system and teaching them over a summer? Because, I mean, it worked last year, right?
A little bit like that. Also, I definitely realize Coach Casper, like, I guess we can't say like, so you don't know that for sure, but he brings on a JUCO players. He brings in some of those experienced players. He's not bringing in a whole crop of freshmen to bring on. You know, he has a lot of transfer guys this year, like Isaiah Gurley, Alex Peacock, Eric Terry, a bunch of these other guys that have transferred in, and he's looking for them to just kind of fit in kind of quicker than a freshman would. You know, you give freshmen time to develop. You get those JUCO guys who come in as sophomores, juniors, seniors. You expect them to step in right away, you know, take a few days to learn it, and then go.
Well, they're going to have to because, now, you correct me if I'm wrong, Brendan, but I'm pretty sure we only have 2 returning starters on that Texas State Bobcat men's basketball team, correct?
Yeah, Emmanuel King, he's going to be returning, which we call him the starter because he did start most of last season, but that was because McCray got hurt. So that's kind of why he stepped in, but he still got all those minutes. So he has the experience, so that's good. And then, of course, Nigel Pearson. And then to lose it all, you know, Nedja almost came like the 6/7th man last year off the bench. So we saw a lot of Nedja in the games last year. So he'll be returning, probably a top-of-the-rotation guy, maybe fight for a starting spot. I don't know.
And I know from the people that have gone to practices and kind of watched that team a little bit more, all the reports that are coming out have said that Nedja could be the 6th man, like you said, or he could almost be like a kind of a middleman coming in the starting lineup, coming out. But I have to admit, only having 2 returning starters, quote starters, only having 1 solid starter and Nigel, that makes me as a fan a little bit worried, doesn't it?
I guess a little bit, but you know, like he said, he had all that turnover last year bringing in the 8 new guys, and they beat all the expectations, went to the Sun Belt Championship. So it's going to come down to coaching, and Danny Casper's a darn good coach to have. He's been around for, what do you say, over 20 years? He's been in the game for a while. He's coached, you know, maybe thousands of players by now. He's seen it all, and I think he can handle it.
Talking about Nigel Pearson a little bit more, averaged 13.3 points per game last year, 2.4 assists, and 5.7 rebounds. So his rebounding total, pretty high for a kind of a point guard wing type of player. Do you see where do you see his development going this year? Do we see him average 16, 17, almost 20 points a game this year?
Yeah, he's kind of a weird tweener type player. He comes in at 6'5", listed as a guard, and I guess he played more of small forward last year with that lineup they had of Bobby and OJ in the backcourt, and then Nigel, KGT, and Emmanuel King in the frontcourt. So he played probably more of the 3 position, but, I mean, he can do it all. That's what he kind of prides himself on. He loves, we know about his defense. We talk about all the time how good of a defender he is. Casper puts him on the best player most of the time. So he's got that 6'5 frame out there in the wing. He gets in there and rebounds. He's aggressive. His 3-point shots came along really well as the season went on. You can see him improving that. So I really think he could be something like a real big bright spot. You know, we talked about KGT so much last year and kind of the year before and how great he was. And, you know, a couple of years we talked about Nigel's name in that all-time scoring list,
which is something we mentioned earlier last year about how good this kid could be. You mentioned he's 6'5", kind of playing that tweener position. We also saw him play the primary ball handler position, too, kind of bringing the ball down, stuff like that. So kind of a point forward type of set for Nigel Pearson. It's still really early. They still haven't even played a single preseason game yet, Brendan. But where do you kind of see this team going? Do you see them kind of following the same trajectory they had last year, coming a couple points away, a couple points shy of an NCAA tournament bid? Or are you kind of leaning on the more conservative side, where I'm kind of at, where last year might have been set the expectation a little bit too high for this year?
Yeah, I guess I'm closer to your side, because I'm not saying they can't win, 22 games this year, but it's probably a little less likely. It's gonna be a tougher road. Teams are gonna have more film on these guys on how to guard Nigel, his tendencies and stuff like that. All that stuff plays into a factor, and not having as many. I think the four senior starters really played a big role. The leadership, the experience, all that stuff. So that might hurt them a little bit of a younger starting lineup. But I still think there'll be a competitive team in the Sun Belt Conference. They could, they were the 4 seed last year on a great year. Maybe, they're a 5-6 seed. Maybe get up to the 4 seed again. They proved last year they could beat anybody in the conference, depending how they show this year. I'm not scared of any of these teams in the conference right now. We were scared of UTA, but I'm pretty sure they lost Garvey. They're a top player. So none of these teams are really that scary to me at this point.
Well, again, we haven't played a single minute of basketball yet, but I feel like the trajectory of this team, where they were last year, if a fan comes in to their opening night game and says, I want to see the exact same team I saw last year, I feel like they're going to be disappointed. Especially in the early goings of this season, I'm not sure where they're going to be. I know Nigel's going to be good. I know Alex Peacock, who I've gotten to see a lot of film on, the junior transfer, I know he's going to be really good. And I know Emmanuel King is going to bring the same type of game he brought last year, good solid presence on the inside in the paint. But for the rest of these guys, I don't know where we're going to go with it.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's a real mystery. So we haven't seen a lot of these guys play before. A lot of these guys, Darius Duncan, Marlon Davis, they were on the team last year, but they didn't play that much. So got to see how they improved over the offseason, see if they earned themselves some more minutes. Because Casper's not just going to give it to you because you've been there. You still have to earn it every season, every year.
Oh, no, we saw Bobby Conley last year kind of shift from being that starter role to more of a six-man to even only playing a couple minutes a game in some games, some situations. So, really, there is a flex. There's the minutes are always changing. It's a game-by-game type of situation.
I mean, definitely. Coach Casper coaches on the fly, and you're going to have to play 110% every night for him if you want to make a difference, if you want to be on his good side, and if you want to really help the team the most. He's going to get that out of you. That's what the great coaches do. They make you play harder. They get you to play your hardest. Not always comes down to skill. It comes down to how hard they play. Casper will have his guys playing hard and competitive every night.
So some of the points I want to talk to Coach Casper about, but we didn't get to talk to him because the cell phone signal went out. If you just are tuning in, we had Coach Danny Casper, men's basketball coach, on the show. Cell phone signal goes out. We weren't able to get a whole lot from him. But some of the questions I would ask him was a little bit about the NCAA violations at Louisville and a little bit about UNC, too, where we saw their kind of scandal swept underneath the rug. We saw nothing really happen to that school when it comes to academic violations. We saw Louisville with a scandal where players were being paid. What I really wanted to get to was Adidas was the main culprit in that situation. Texas State is an Adidas sponsor. Where does that put him in this entire situation? Where does that put the Texas State athletic community in this situation?
Yeah, I can't really speak for him because we don't know how that stuff really does impact. But, you got to imagine it kind of weighs something on their mind saying, oh, we have Adidas. I believe their contract is set to expire in summer of 2018. So Texas State will have a decision on that to renew it or not. They haven't made that decision yet, so they have some time. So, at this time next year, we could easily be having different jerseys other than Adidas.
Which is something that a lot of fans, if they didn't know, they know now. Adidas is our main sponsor. They've been doing some pretty good stuff with the jerseys. I wasn't too impressed by the ULM jerseys, the all-gold jerseys. Wasn't too impressed by that. But we're pushing up on the 30-minute break. Before we go, I need to tell you a little bit about the weather. Right now, it is a high of 82, low of 58. Right now, it's 71 degrees with a little bit of humidity. Tomorrow, a little bit of cloud coverage again, high of 81. Friday and Saturday and Sunday, expect a little bit of rain. You're listening to Bobcat Radio on KTSW 89.9.
Dish the cardio room and track. Spice up your workout at the Student Rec Center. It's the perfect atmosphere for volleyball, basketball, and indoor soccer games. Our rec center has over 30 different sports clubs to choose from. Check out the boxing room and racquetball room. The Student Rec Center even has a pool and rock climbing wall. Grab some friends and utilize the multi-purpose room for a group cycling workout. Visit campusrecreation.txstate.edu for more information.
A message from KTSW, the other side of radio.
You know, I wish there was a place to hear my favorite music and artists live all in one place.
You can on Other Side Drive, a show packed with DJ segments, live interviews, educational information, and live performances, all from KTSW's very own studio. Tune to KTSW 89.9 every weekday from 4 to 6 p.m. and find the variety you're looking for. To put in a request, call 512-245-FIRE between 4 to 6 p.m.
Really? Tell me more, Radio Goddess.
For more information, check out KTSW.net and look under the programming tab.
I'm Brian London with Texas A Football. You're listening to Wildcat Radio, KTSW.
We are waiting for the always fun head coach of the San Marcos Rattlers, Coach Mark Soder, to call in. You're listening to KTSW 89.9. Right now, we just got done talking to Coach Danny Casper a little bit about the men's base or the men's basketball team and how they kind of are preparing for their season. It's gonna be interesting the way that things kind of shuffle out in the Sun Belt Conference when it comes to men's basketball. We haven't seen a whole lot of movement when it comes to coaches, and in that kind of sort of sense. But it will be interesting as time goes on to see how this the Sun Belt kind of develops basketball.
Yeah, definitely. I think they're starting to make their name a little bit more. You know, we've seen with the Georgia Southern when they beat Baylor in that NCAA tournament a couple of years ago. We had Troy in it last year. South Alabama, you see their name pop up often because they're a pretty solid program. So we see a lot of these teams, you know, coming around, not really. That's the thing about basketball, you don't really write them off the same you would as football. You know, if I see a Sun Belt team playing a Pac-12 team in football, I'm like, yeah, Pac-12 confidently going to win. And basketball, I think it's a little bit closer to that middle area to either team could win it.
It's pretty much whoever gets a hot hand. And we've seen that a couple times. We saw UTA last year, both men's and women's basketball, where you saw one team get a hot hand and go on a long streak or a long hot streak during the game, but then the next game they came out cold. So it is one of those things. It's on and off. Like the on and off switch is really, it's really touchy when it comes to basketball.
Yeah, so the Texas State basketball, keep an eye, their first exhibition game, that's going to come on November 4th. That's going to be the first Saturday of November. Then they'll start real play a week later on that Sunday. It'll be November 12th against Air Force in Colorado Springs, and that'll be one of those Men Against Breast Cancer showcases. So, you know, the season's coming up in a couple weeks. I'm pretty excited. Ready to cover those guys again.
When the weather starts getting cooler, it's time to go back in the stadiums and kind of hang out and watch some basketball. So now we're going to shift over a little bit to a team, two teams actually. We're going to cover both of them right now that are hot, hot, hot. Cold weather, hot teams. Talk a little bit about Texas State soccer, Brendan.
Yeah, so we know those Texas State soccer girls won again this past Sunday at Little Rock 3-2, pushing their win streak to 6 straight games, moving to 7-1 in conference. And they're not just beating, like, at first when they started winning, they're just winning some games, you know, winning out some 1-0 wins and stuff like that. Now they're beating teams, you know, winning games 4-0, 3-0, 3-0, and then this past one, Little Rock, 3-2. Granted, those were the first goals they'd given up in a month. The first time, given up in a month. Those two goals, Little Rock, on October 15th, those were the first goals they'd given up since Coastal Carolina game on September 17th. So that's how dominant they have been. And now they're sitting, you know, 7-1 in conference, top of the conference, just two games left. This weekend, Friday at 7, hosting Troy. Sunday at 1, hosting South Alabama. And South Alabama is the other team in that conference that they've been first for most of the year, but now Texas State's in front of them because they've played more games. Texas State 7-1, South Alabama 6-1 with three games left. So the South Alabama game will be Texas State's last game of the season. It won't be South Alabama's. But that game still is going to hold heavy weight in deciding Sun Belt regular season championship winner.
So no Texas State football, but if fans are in the area, that's the game to go to. Premier game. Now, I'm going to level with you, Brendan. I haven't been able to get out to a whole lot of Texas State soccer games. I went to the beginning when they were kind of figuring things out. Now you got to go to the Texas State. You go a little bit more into the games this year. I was on the beat last year. This year's team is just dominating. It's something I haven't seen a whole lot of when it comes to Texas State sports just in general, how dominating that this team is, just engulfing teams, almost like swallowing the other team up.
Yeah, and that's one of the main points we always talk about, their defense, how aggressive they are at those two defenders, and Chandler Cooney and Genesis Terman. They're really good defenders on each side, and Heather Martin has truly emerged. She was in a battle with fellow sophomore goalkeeper at the beginning of the season, so he would win that spot, and Heather Martin took that spot and ran away with it to become the every game goalie, and she has been, you know, simply fantastic back there, and gets a lot of help from that great defense in front of her.
It's something to say too, that how good the team is, but we mentioned all year how young they are too, and how Coach Connor has been able, coming into this last year, to both the captains were seniors, and the question was asked, how is this team going to fare in the future? They'll be fine, is what Coach Connor said. They are way better than fine. This is a dominating team. This is a team that we haven't been able to really wrap our heads around how good they've been so quickly.
Yeah, they definitely get overshadowed by us talking about football, not necessarily by football success. So we need to, you know, give the credit to these athletes of the soccer and volleyball team and what they've been doing. Soccer now averages the most goals per game in the Sun Belt Conference. They didn't average that when I called their game a couple weeks ago. They were like a middle of the pack team. Then they started having all these big scoring games, averaging 1.83 goals a game to lead the Sun Belt. And also the number one defense, they only allow 0.88 goals per game. When you're the number one scoring team and you're the number one defensive team, you're going to win a lot of games. You can't ask for anything more.
That's a good combination to have. You know, we talk a little bit about what type of combination is best, you know, pepper and jelly, fries and ketchup. Having the best offense and the best defense that's something that really helps you continue the dominate. Now moving on to the other team that has really taken the Sun Belt by storm, Texas State Women's Volleyball. Volleyball is rolling with another win over UTA last week, drawing a 7-game winning streak. Right, one of the longest in the Sun Belt Conference. This team was 13-3 last year in conference, and now has the exact same record 7 games in to conference play as they did last year. Last year they dropped the second game of Sun Belt play. This year the Bobcats dropped the first. But it raises the question, Brendan, I'm going to address it to you. Where do you see this team going? Is this team going to be better than it was last year? Because right now it's hard. It's a hard decision to make.
Yeah, one of the main things that stick out to me here about what I think is going to ultimately why this team is probably going to be finished better than last year's team. Like I said, the team is 15-7, 1-7 straight, 7-1 on the road. They're going into other schools' gyms and beating them, shutting them out, beating them, you know, 3-0. And that shows a lot when you're 6-2 at home, which is still great. You're 7-1 on the road, beyond great. Then you're 2-4 on your neutral sites in those tournament games, you know, that you play throughout the season, don't weigh much other than the record, but doesn't show much later in the season. And then, you know, coming up, they have these next two games at home, where they said they're 6-2, and then 3 road games, 4 home games to close it out. I don't see anything that really discourages me from them kind of continuing this. Obviously, I expect them to lose, not going to win forever, but I think they're still going to be above 500 team for the rest of the year, finish the good spot going to the Sun Belt Conference tournament.
So it's Wednesday. You know what that means, Brendan. We pull out the statistic book. Last year's team dropped 9 sets through 7 games, coming out with a 6-1 record. This year's team only dropped 3 sets when it comes to Sun Belt Conference play. They've only dropped 3 sets, and that came in the 3-0 match loss earlier in the year. That is why I'm kind of leaning on the, I'm too, I'm kind of leaning on that side of this team could be better than what we might think of them. Like, this team could end up being a better team than the team we had last year coming into the exact same situation. Now, last year, the Texas State volleyball team kind of hiccuped when it came to postseason play. going two rounds deep and losing to two pretty good programs, losing to South Alabama, or beating South Alabama, sorry, in the first round, 3-0, and then losing the semifinal match, 3-1, to Coastal Carolina, a team that the Bobcats have been struggling with the last couple of years. So that kind of a good idea to keep in the back of your mind when it comes to kind of guessing where this team's going to end up.
Yeah, and also, I guess I'll keep in mind, with these games coming up, the two games this weekend against Georgia Southern and Georgia State, that'll be their first time playing those schools for the season. But then you get a bunch of repeat games. You go to Monroe and Lafayette to play the two Louisiana schools. Those would be the first time you face them. Then you come home to face Arkansas State, who you beat 3-0 earlier. Then you face Little Rock, who you beat on the road 3-0 earlier in that streak. Then you get UTA, who you already beat 3-0. Then you get the two Louisiana schools again. So, you get some schools that you've seen before. You know it's coming, and that could help them, or I guess that could hurt them with teams having scouted them, seen them more in person, and know what to expect.
I want to jump in here real quick. When I said that they struggled against Coastal Carolina, that was last season. They struggled against Coastal Carolina last season. This year they were able to beat them in Conway, South Carolina, 3-0 in the match, winning the match. So I just want to go with that. Yeah, you are correct when you were saying that, when what you just said, you were correct with what you just said.
Yeah, I mean, because it's all about familiarity. That's the thing about conference or division play, whatever it is. You see these teams a lot. You know their tendencies. They know your tendencies. That's what kind of makes it more of a toss-up game, because the two teams know each other so well. So Texas State's going to have to be careful for that. You know, when they have Arkansas State and Little Rock coming in here next week trying to get revenge.
Yeah.
Or in 2 weeks.
Would be a really interesting question to kind of poke at Coach Chisholm. What goes into the game planning for these kind of home-and-home sets that the Sun Belt Conference is built on, your conference is built on, playing two teams home and away. But coming into that second game, how does the film study change? How does the scouting report change? How does, X, Y, and Z change with that? That would be an interesting question to kind of send their way. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, yeah, definitely, because we don't know the specific intricacies of volleyball. Personally, I'm not big on it, but I haven't been out there much. I'm still kind of learning it. I'll be calling the game with Alex, one of the other KTSW members here, on Sunday at 1. So tune in. Oh, that'll get on Friday. I got mixed up with the soccer game. The soccer game, Sunday at 1. Friday will be the volleyball game that night at 6:30. So, I'll be ready for that, because I know Strahan's been getting a little bit more packed lately for the volleyball team when students start to see what they're doing. And there's normally a pretty good environment out there at those volleyball games.
Yeah, this is one of the most consistent teams in Texas State. I'm going to say in the last, 5 years, this has been one of the most consistent teams coming inside and out when it comes to, not only showing a little bit dominance on the court, but even when they don't have peak years, kind of showing a little bit of rays of hope as the season goes on, if that makes any sense.
I mean, definitely does, and, if you're any Texas State fan right now, and you watch this volleyball team, they've given you hope. They've given you a reason to cheer and to feel good about them going forward. So, get out there, cheer them on, and, just hope that things don't go too bad, and you don't get something terribly unfortunate like, knock on wood, an injury or anything like that happens, because this team's playing so hot and so well right now. You like to see them, you say it often, you think a team peaked too early. So, almost want to see, don't want to say I want them to lose, but a loss wouldn't kill them at this point in the season. Maybe that's kind of their refreshener saying, oh, we're not unbeatable, we still need to tighten up these things, that thing, and have that and get that ready going into the Sun Belt tournament.
Unlike Brendan, I'm not going to wish the worst on our Texas State teams. I'm not going to try to jinx them saying that they should lose a game. But with that being, you mentioned the fan support that this team has. We have a little bit of time before pushing up on the 50-minute break. And I kind of want to talk about last game the Bobcats played at home against ULM. This has been kind of a point of contingency kind of with the fan support, the media, and the team. I feel like all three aren't on the same page when it comes to this. We were talking about the the fan turnout for these football games. I feel like this is a really good, it's a good point to kind of just tackle right now while we have a little bit of time. Against that ULM game, I'm going to say this was the worst turnout in the Texas, in this season at least. But when you look at attendance-wise, it was one of the more average. Attendance recorded was 12,000 souls in the stadium. I don't think that there were 12,000 souls counting players, coaches, concession stand members. I don't think that there were 12,000 fans in that stadium, Brendan.
Yeah, and that's just killer because, you know, you could go and show a picture like that on social media saying, look how empty the stands is right now. And then I pull up right here, I go to TexasStateBobcats.com because I'm looking at the football page. And their home page, it's talking about Texas State football single game tickets, buy now. And their picture back here is a stadium, a beautiful, beautiful picture from a great angle of the stadium, completely full from the UTSA game. So you think, oh yeah, you know, if that's what you're seeing every week, then that's great. That's all you can ask for out of the fans. But then when you come out and you see things like we did in that ULM game, it's embarrassing and kind of inexcusable.
Well, I'm saying not only like for like season ticket holders and the other team's fans, because if we want to make some excuses, ULM probably isn't a school that travels very well. I haven't ever seen ULM merchandise sold at your local concession stands, right? I don't see a whole lot of ULM alums just in this area, period. But with that being said, you have a 40,000 student campus. So there, and only having about maybe, I'm going to say liberally maybe 150 students in that student section, that's a very high ceiling for that. It doesn't look good. It's not a good look for this Texas State team.
Yeah, you know, they're not even getting half their students out there because what? I don't have the exact number in front of me, but in that UTSA game, it was over 30,000, I believe.
It was about 30,000, yeah.
Yeah, it was over 30,000. Then in the ULM game, they announced it as 12,000. You were there, I wasn't, I was out of town, but you mentioned you had an actual view of it saying how empty it was, and it was not that 12,000.
And it just didn't feel like 12,000. Maybe there were fans that were, you know, eating in the end zone complex, or, you know, sitting in areas spread out evenly. Personally, I didn't see 12,000 people there. It didn't have that feel, you know, like when you go to a football game and you have that feeling of, you know, the crowd's behind the team, everything's moving in the right direction. It wasn't there. It hasn't been there to me. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, and you know, you want your fans to be more consistent with it. In the UTSA game, I pulled the number up. Their attendance record they put was 31,333. That's 2.5 more times than it was recorded in that ULM game. And it's, you know, okay, it's because it was UTSA rivalry game. Everyone came out. Last year when it was Houston, everyone came because it was Houston. You know, they're ranked in the top five. But you don't, if you see these other big schools around Texas, that's not what they do. A&M fans don't just show up when A&M's playing Alabama. They show up when they're playing, you know,
LSU.
They're playing Nicholls State. They're playing an FCS school. Kyle Field's going to be loud and full. Texas, when they played Maryland, that game,
loud and full.
Yeah, they're going to have a loud, full stadium, and it's Texas State. It's just when it's more convenient to the fans.
And this is going back to the caller we had in the first part of the show, the first 10 minutes of the show. Can you kind of sum up what the caller said, Brendan?
Yeah, he's talking about, you know, the lack of attendance, obviously, and then the fans that were there in that ULM game, you said that small student section, he said they were, you know, they're being angry, they're being ugly to the players, you know, giving them, saying mean comments to them, saying things to them that you wouldn't say to their face, right? That's something that fans do a lot with athletes. You hide behind a Twitter screen and tweet at them, or you yell things from the crowd because you feel safe, and, you know, that player might not ever see you again, might never find you again. But I don't think that doesn't excuse it at all, and that just shows, that reflects really poorly on Texas State overall if their fans are out here yelling at their players, telling them they're no good.
Well, part of that is, that's not unexcusable. But part of it is, you have to come from a fan's point of view, this team hasn't given us, besides Willie Jones, who had an excellent game last week against Lafayette, there hasn't been a whole lot of, you know, excitement. We saw Ishmael Davis go down in the UTSA game with a torn ACL, right? So we're not going to get him back. We saw Mason Hayes come off with an injury earlier this season. We're not going to get him back for probably the remainder of this season. You know, Damian Williams comes in as an SEC transfer quarterback, doesn't really show up for these home games, or shows up, but doesn't give us the performance that we would like to see out of our quarterback. Now, I know Tyler Jones had a rough senior year, and this is fading back a little bit. Had a rough senior year, but he had a pretty solid sophomore and junior season. So fans have kind of grown accustomed to having a really good quarterback. So it's not only that the fans are not showing up. That's 75% of the issue. 25% of the issue is that the Texas State football team is having trouble this year, struggling and almost to a point of regressing. We're gonna come back after we're pushing up the 15-minute break. We're gonna come back to this topic a little bit, but I need to tell you about Bobcat Radio, sponsored by the University Bookstore. Located on the second floor of LBJ Student Center, the University Bookstore provides support for Texas State programs, departments, events, and organizations. For more information, go to bookstore.txstate.edu or at 245-2273. You're listening to Bobcat Radio on KTSW 89.9.
Heyo, it's a great day to be a Bobcat, but real talk, that doesn't stop us from being real people with real problems. That's what the Texas State Counseling Center is here for. Counseling is available and confidential for current Texas State students who need a professional ear when it comes to mental health, stress, and more. Check counseling.txstate.edu for more info and resources that can help you seize the day like the Bobcat you are. A message from KTSW, the other side of radio.
What are you doing every third Thursday of the month? KTSW is bringing local live artists from the San Marcos area to Kiva Lounge for Third Thursday. This KTSW event is only hosted every third Thursday of the month, featuring live music and plenty of pool tables to go around. You don't want to miss out on this, because if you do, you'll have to wait till next month to be able to hang out with KTSW. So make sure you clear your Thursday night schedule and come hang out with your friends at Kiva Lounge.
Welcome back. You're listening to Bobcat Radio on KTSW 89.9. If you're just now tuning in, you missed a pretty good interview with Coach Danny Casper and Brendan and I breaking down women's volleyball and soccer. If you missed any part of the show, come in a little bit later on the KTSW blog. We'll have kind of the wrap-up, a little bit of a podcast sort of feel of the entire show. So now we're going to jump into, Brendan, I don't know about you, but this is my favorite segment of the week, Midweek Spotlight.
Midweek Spotlight.
Brendan, I will let you start.
All right, going with my midweek spotlight. I can't say that word. Wow. Going with my midweek spotlight here, I'm going to go with one of my favorite players in the MLB, Yu Darvish. I'm a Texas Ranger fan, obviously he was traded from the Rangers this year to the Dodgers. And it was kind of one of those, I knew he's going to be a free agent after the year anyway, no guarantee he signs back at Texas. I don't know if I wanted to give him max money, so I was kind of okay with sending him away for him to try to go get a ring with a real contender and us getting some prospects back. And he pitched a fantastic game last night against the defending world champion Chicago Cubs, going 6 1/3, 7 strikeouts, 1 walk, 6 hits, 1 run. And that puts Yu Darvish in 2 postseason games this year with the Dodgers. He's 2-0 with 14 strikeouts, 1 walk, and a 1.59 ERA, and 11 1/3 innings pitched. Yu Darvish is out there doing his thing, helping out, you know, being the guy behind Kershaw and kind of Rich Hill, and pitching very well, and the Dodgers up 3-0 in the Cubs. Good win tonight and advance to the World Series.
So my midweek spotlight, as it has been for the last 3 weeks, Aaron Judge, who Brendan likes to make fun. He says that Aaron Judge is, a struggling hitter, struggling artist. 2-for-3, Brendan. 846 slugging percentage, Brendan. Comes in with a walk and 2 RBIs, Brendan, and 2 hits. Do you have anything to say to Aaron Judge?
Okay, I never said Aaron Judge was a bad baseball player, so stop trying to make me look bad on air. Is he a very good baseball player? Yes. Are people, including you, a little overhyped on him? Yes.
Coming in as a rookie, 25 years old, doing what he did in the first half of the season, coming in and winning the home run derby, and I hate to mention this every time we talk about Aaron Judge, but NASA said nobody would hit the top of the Marlins dome. You know who did it?
Giancarlo Stanton.
Aaron Judge. You're close. Aaron Judge. Aaron Judge was able to do some things that have not been seen.
Including striking out 16 times in a series. That was the first time that ever happened, too.
who's dealing with good postseason pitching, Brendan. It happens to the best of them. The Yankees right now tied up the series, though. That's what we really need to talk about. Tied up the series against, I don't know how about you feel about them, the Houston Astros are kind of becoming Texas's team. A lot of Texans kind of rallying around Houston, really the entire United States rallying around the city of Houston. Houston Astros are turning into America's team, Brendan, and going down now, losing two games in Yankee Stadium. I don't know how polarizing it is right now, but it's getting there. The water's heating up for the Astros.
Yeah, I don't know how I still haven't figured out how I feel about the series, because I didn't really like either of these teams going into it. You know, I've always been one of those Yankee haters. If I had to pick a side between the Yankee-Boston rivalry, I always pick the Boston side. Houston, I didn't have a big problem with them. I was like, okay, they're the other team in Texas. Then they joined the AL West. I was like, okay. And then the Rangers kept dominating them. I'm like, no big deal. And now I moved from my Fort Worth area down here to San Marcos. I meet a lot more Houston fans, and now I'm a lot more anti-Houston than I was before. So that's why I'm almost pulling strictly National League now. I just want the Dodgers to win it.
Interesting. We go a little bit onto that one. Defending national champions. Defending World Series champions. I'm sorry. Defending World Series champions, Chicago Cubs, come back last year in the World Series, down 3-1, win their first ring in 100-plus years. Season starts, out of the gate, struggling. Barely claw their way in the playoffs, kind of struggle in the first round. Get to the NLCS, right now down 3-0 to the Dodgers. How do you feel like this is a team that could come back, or are you kind of just writing them off?
I'm not going to write them off, because what they did last year, coming back 3-1, and the Dodgers, you know, Dodgers haven't been here before. That's the thing. They haven't been to the World Series. They haven't closed out an NLCS before. And the Cubs pretty much brought back the same team from last year. And tonight they're going to have, you know, former Cy Young winner Jake Arrieta on the mound going against the Dodgers rookie sensation Alex Wood, who, you know, he had a great rookie year, but when you're going up against Jake Arrieta, former Cy Young winner, you kind of like the Cubs to take this game. And they take this game, and then they go back to, after this game, they would, no, they play one more in Chicago, so they'd be the next two games.
3-2-3.
Yeah, they'd play the,
that's
two,
the series.
2-3-2.
Whatever.
So, yeah, you try the, yeah. So, the Dodgers need to try to clean this, go ahead and clinch this in Chicago, either now tonight or in the next game tomorrow, because you don't want to go back to L.A., which is a 3-2 lead, because one slip up and then you're in trouble.
So let's break that down. How disrespectful is it to go to the World Series in another person's home? Like, you're going to go into the defending World Series champion's house in Chicago, Wrigley Field, and, you know, walk off with some champagne, couple of those cool goggles, and, you know, an entire uniform just smelling with winning. Like, how disrespectful is that, Brendan?
Yeah, that's something obviously Chicago doesn't want to allow to happen on their field. Wrigley Field is one of the more, you know, historic fields in baseball. Everyone loves Wrigley Park. And with the, you know, with Chicago winning it there last year. Yeah, they won it in Chicago, I believe, right?
They won it in Cleveland.
Yeah. So they want to get back this year, protect their house. If they went to the World Series, they would be the road team, I think, in both occasions, playing the Yankees and Astros. I don't have the records in front of me. I know at least the Astros have home field advantage. Don't know about Yankees. But, you know, you're the Cubs. This is your season. These are the last two games of the season. You're at home, and you just hate so much. They didn't even get to dance in their own field after the World Series last year. They don't want to see the Dodgers dance and celebrate get the big group hug on the pitcher's mound that you get after every big win. They don't want to see the Dodgers do that in Wrigley Field.
It's just a shame, because I wish it was Kershaw pitching tonight, where we could have like a Kershaw, Jake Arrieta kind of duel, not only because of the optics of that, seeing the two of the best pitchers in the NL dueling each other, but also because Clayton Kershaw has been one of those players. He was an MVP candidate a couple seasons ago in the NL. He's been he was Cy Young Award winner. But he's been one of those players that a lot of blame has gone to when the team can't win. We saw him, I want to say a year ago, struggling in the postseason, struggling at the end of the regular season. And a lot of blame went on him when it came to, not carrying the team, not being that team franchise player that a lot of people need him to be. So having him get to the World Series, I feel like that's a big monkey. Just if they just go there, is a big monkey off his back.
Yeah, I'm a big Clayton Kershaw fan because how special he is to watch pitch and how good he is. And he kind of had that narrative as a postseason choker for a while, but then he had a pretty good postseason last year, and including in one of the games, maybe the Giants. I can't remember what series it was, but I remember he came out. He pitched one game, and I think the next game he came out of the bullpen. And he got the save. That's what it was. He got the win, then he got the save, like, the next game. And that's just absolutely